Chapter 9. Arm Brewster chased the flyers, watching from a distance as they dispatched the pursuing units with little effort and concluded their massacre of the civilian traffic. The hunter nimbly wove through the carnage caused by the agravs, each footfall placed to miss a burning car or mangled lump of Saints knew what, lest he give his position away and become the quarry. He observed how they travelled, the erratic evasion and lateral movement capability that ground base units simply lacked, and devised a plot to destroy the trio of interlopers. They sketched a hasty route around the district, sticking to side roads and byways at a rapid, almost reckless pace, clearly skirting their way back to the necropolis. He knew it. The falling objects were not rockets at all, but off-world contractors, eager to carve out a piece of Novo Solo for themselves. Well, Specialist Arm Brewster would be damned if he was going to let some foreign bastards take credit for the good work being conducted by men and women like himself. This was local business, and the reward money from the corporation would be brought home with the victors. With this thought playing on his mind, he struck. It was, of course, like everything else he had done up to this point, perfect. He had waited until the enemy unit was transiting through a particularly narrow street with high-rise blocks on both sides. This forced the blood-coloured cretins to travel in single file, their manoeuvrability limited by the tight terrain. His weapon was at the very limit of its operational effectiveness, some 2,500 yards or so, then fired just as the last of the agravs was turning a corner. Uncharacteristically for Arm Brewster, he paused to watch his shot, its passing marked by air distortion, such was the speed of the slug as it shattered everything made of glass in its wake. The final agrav was just about to take the turn, his fellows were ahead out of sight, and so could not see the strike. Shields blew out in a pop not dissimilar to what the hunter had been seeing all night. The super-dense tungsten slug whacked the rear armour, just about where he reckoned the power pack was placed, judging by the venting louvres. The 20mm dart cored the elegant vessel like a pneumatic drill punching an apple, expunging a morass that looked like a mixture of machine parts and organic matter from a horrific exit wound. The whole vehicle was ripped apart by secondary explosions and was unrecognizable in about a second. Arm Brewster simply stared through his forward monitor, observing into depth, all pretense of anything remotely human now gone from his gaze. The superficial joy gained from destroying his former comrades, the disgust felt when fighting the peasant corvids, all gone. This was an alien enemy, an invader. This was the fight that he was born for. There was a void where Arm Brewster's approximation of a personality had been, discarded now that it had been deemed no longer necessary. Only the hunter remained. He didn't attempt to hide as the remaining contractors wheeled around the corner, one rising above the other on screeching grav plates, attempting to get a bead on this new threat. He gave them a second to spot him, operating his external speakers as they started to accelerate toward him. "You are not welcome here," said the hunter flatly. Then he triggered his silent running gear and disappeared into a side road. They would think he was running, would be eager to get revenge. Anger would get the better of them, and they would die. He moved no more than 10 yards and turned, hunkering down behind his leg armor for a more stable firing platform, waiting for the first sap to serve themselves to his railgun. A blur of red, like a flying blood clot, and Arm Brewster fired reflexively, not even having to think. But it was gone. The slug hit an accommodation block, kinetic energy round doing little damage to a heavy concrete structure, other than punching a hole straight through it. Before he knew it, an agrav, the second agrav, was firing at him with autocannon and lasers. Hard shields flared, and his eyes flicked across to see the power levels dropping at an alarming rate. The hunter triggered his machine gun and backed up, firing long bursts with little effect to cover his retreat. "Brake line, do not think in a linear fashion," said the cold, detached mind that would kill these scum, and he stepped sideways, using his 20-foot war machine to smash directly into the adjacent building. The incoming slackened immediately as he ploughed through apartments, cutting a zigzag through concrete and iron rebar with almost no regard for his own safety. They were quicker than him, and smart. Contrary to what he had expected, the contractors had figured out the nature of his main armament, and the first Agrav had drawn fire to allow the second to attack while the heavy railgun was busy in its loading cycle. One to remember. They would not follow him inside the building, of that he was certain, given their flimsy construction and reliance on speed and maneuverability. Their options were to wait for him in ambush or leave, neither of which would be optimal for Arm Brewster. He needed this over quickly. Do what they do not expect. The hunter doubled back after no more than a couple of seconds, causing more damage to the structure of the building as he barreled straight out of his improvised entrance, torso facing right at the Agrav that had been unwilling to follow him in. It immediately jinged to avoid the expected slug, but anticipating this, Armbruster did not fire. Instead, he charged full speed back into the original street they'd been travelling on. Unlike his machine, the off-world contractors could not smash their way through large structures easily, so the second Agrav had only managed to get 100 yards or so away from him when he fired. The shot impacted on the craft's front shields, the pilot being savvy enough to keep his glacis facing the enemy as he withdrew. His Agrav spun wildly, bouncing first from a block wall, then the floor before it gained elevation, flickering grav plates struggling to power the shields and correct the violent action being wrought upon it. But the damn shields did hold. The hunter sent long bursts of tracer into the staggered vehicle, then got nicely in close and stamped all over it. Clawed feet crumpled red armor into an unrecognizable pulp in a mechanical frenzy of stomping, before Armbruster stopped to think. The last one is outflanking me. Splashes of rounds against shields, dangerously weak now, came from the rear. The hunter spun its torso to face rearwards, and Armbruster caught sight of the final Agrav, smoke pouring from autocannon barrels trailing behind as it zipped away, ducking into the alleyway he had just escaped into moments before. Aware that he was being baited, Armbruster spun and followed, sprinting his war machine past the junction first, getting a split-second glimpse down there, long enough to confirm that the Agrav was not there, waiting for him. He doubled back and ventured down the tight alleyway once more, eyeing the mech-sized hole that he had created with caution as he lurched past. Not in there either. The alleyway continued for a couple hundred more yards, leading to an open, square-shaped area, walled in by the faces of several tower blocks. It was a communal space, indicative of the slightly higher standard of living that the citizens of this sector were accustomed to when compared to those on the boundaries of Solo Nobre, replete with a grassed area and children's playground. The damn Agrav had found itself an arena where it could maneuver. It wasted no time coming straight for him, moving too fast to track, spraying fire from the left flank in a strafing run that left the hunter reeling. It flashed across in front of Armbruster so close he could make out the individual power vanes that spiderweb through the grav plates under the machine's hull. A shrill beeping in the dark cockpit pierced his thoughts, alerting him to the fact that his shields were down under 25%, which Armbruster ignored as he struggled to rotate his torso fast enough to keep up with the alien craft. It stopped at the edge of the communal area, spinning to face him with effortless grace as he lined up his targeting reticule, a solid shot, center mass, just squeeze. The thing moved laterally, a little boost-assisted dodge, just as his finger found the trigger brake. Armbruster saw it and responded in that microsecond, but would later curse his primitive human nervous system for being unable to keep up with his instincts. The railgun cracked, the round missed. Another strafing run came in, and Armbruster snarled, blanking out the alarms as the Agrav shot past at a rate of knots. Adapt, react, win the fight! He reached up and slapped the auto-stop button on his railgun's load mechanism, halting it before another slug was rammed into the breech. Then Armbruster quickly dialed down the shot power to 50%, whilst simultaneously rotating the hunter's torso onto line, overlaying that white reticule onto his enticing target. The contractor had made one mistake in its bait-and-move tactic. It was waiting in the corner, and it could only dodge one way. He squeezed the trigger. Magnetized rails cracked loudly, discharging 50% of their capacity. The Agrav dodged the Hunter tracked. Armbruster slammed the auto-loader back into action, and a slug was fed into the breach with a satisfying clunk. The enemy contractor begun to move forward just as Armbruster fired. The slug smashed into the thing with reduced force, causing powerful shielding to ripple, but it still had enough kinetic energy to knock the gravity-defying vehicle back into the fascia of an accommodation block. Lack of contact with the ground was the downside of piloting things that floated. They were damn unstable, and Armbruster could capitalize on it. Indeed, he was moving at a sprint, plowing furrows into the grass of the communal area with every footfall, as soon as he'd pulled the trigger. Not bothering to throw a kick, or stomp the enemy unit, the Hunter simply ran straight into it as it attempted to right itself, relying on superior weight and momentum to do the work for him. The contractor's red craft slammed into the wall of the apartment block, and went through it in an explosion of dust and shattered concrete. It came to rest about 10 yards in, simply sitting motionless on the ground, like someone had flipped a switch inside it. Armbruster lined up another shot at full power, in case the machine's pilot was bluffing, but it didn't move again, and Armbruster's personality began to reassert itself. He allowed himself a grim smile as he wondered about scavenging power from the off-worlder's flying machine. He had successfully engaged and destroyed an unknown threat, with no prior knowledge, relying purely on his warrior's instincts and adaptive abilities. He looked at the pitiful thing just lying there, and realized that he was probably the first Novo Solo native to have ever bested an off-worlder in combat. It was relatively intact, and there was a good chance that the generators carried enough charge to replenish his shield somewhat. Armbruster detached himself from the command seat and started to prep the vampire cables. He would have to move fast. Fighting could be heard coming from the direction of District HQ, and he wouldn't miss that for the world.